Reservable. It's the reservable. It's the reservable. It's the reservable. Coming to you every day.
Welcome to the very first in a series of special episodes of the Reset Rebel podcast called Ray of Light, dedicated to the Ray of Light Awards. We are celebrating the second year of this event with a trilogy of interviews over the coming weeks, right before the event starts on May the 26th. And it's going to be held every year on the island in May in loving memory of Ray Stevenson, the Northern Irish actor who was up until recently living here in Ibiza and was widely known for his role in Rome, Thor and Star Wars, just to name a few of his acting roles and films. Right now, I'm sitting here with his beautiful wife, Betta Caracha at La Curandera in Salinas, and I'm so thrilled to be having this conversation today to celebrate Ray's life and all that he was and still is with his legacy that he's left behind, all that they created together, and for all that is still to come. Betta, thank you so much for joining me here on the Ray of Light radio show and here on the Reset Rebel podcast.
Thank you so much for taking the time for us. Mm-hmm. I'm really emotional a bit already, like just your introduction has brought a whole series of goosebumps.
Well, I've been dying to meet you, literally, for a long, long time. But first of all, my condolences for your loss. And I'm really sad that I never got to meet your legendary husband or you until now. Obviously, I've heard lots about you from so many of the other island residents about both of you. And so I'm so grateful to have this moment with you together today. Oh. And also for inviting me to join you here at La Curandera. Yes. If that's how you say it.
That is your exceptional pronunciation.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
So I wanted to start with these gorgeous surroundings that you've created and that we're part of the awards are going to be hosted, and obviously the grand opening is going to be held in literally 1 month from now, which is of course surrounded by a World UNESCO Heritage Site. How did you and Ray sort of choose to make this, you know, part of your home and part of your life?
Well, we didn't decide, as it happened a lot in our lives. We were not deciding. Things were just happening. And in this specific hostel that we are godparenting since 2021, we were actually thinking we were just helping some really dear French friends who wanted to have a place here in Ibiza. And then things changed on their side, and we had already kind of put the deposit for them and created the connection. And one day we just found ourselves signing on the 31st of May, actually, which is something that I realized just recently, that also we signed for this place on the 31st of May. So somehow the 31st of May it was already a big date for us. So yes, so we ended up taking it over. And of course, it was right after COVID. Everything was a little bit a disaster here. So, and we had no idea what we were doing because none of us is from the hotel business background. So, we've always been very happy to host. So I suppose there was a universal message, expand your house because your kids can't anymore with the amount of people you host in your own home. So there was this extension over here, and I suppose that's what happened. And then we started to do many of the things that we used to do at home here. And that's why we have a sign that says, welcome to the family, because that's pretty much the only thing we know how to do. We were not super business orientated, and it was a challenge, I suppose, but we didn't take it with too much pressure. And, obviously he kept on going with his job, and I was trying to stay as present as possible here, even though we still had our three kids and they were small at that point. And they kind of hated La Curandera, which at the time was not called La Curandera, it was just called Boutique Hostal Salinas. And the little one especially was like, I hate the hostel. And I'm like, I'm sorry, just
what are we going to do? Now we have it, we have to take care of it.
And look, you know, in hindsight, thank God we have this place, because nobody can act for Ray. I mean, that's one of those jobs that only he could do. But at least I still have La Curandera that keeps me company and busy and helps the family to move on.
Almost like a fourth child.
I mean, I don't know. I almost feel like I'm the child, to be honest. We kind of really felt that there was like a female presence here that was asking to be recognized and well taken care of and honored. And without even really planning, but since we got it, a lot of incredible spiritual leaders from the East and the West, indigenous people from the Andes and Mexico and India, they came for various reasons to give workshops, etc., and they all did energy cleansing and blessings. And I think now La Curandera is happier than she used to be. At least I am. I mean, I'm happier with this place.
It's beautiful. It's really, yeah, different to how it was when I used to come. Well, I mean, they used to have those legendary post-Halloween parties from many, 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 many years. And obviously, it looks very different to those days, thank God. I mean, for the non-Spanish speakers among us, what you know, what is La Curandera? What does it mean?
The healer. It's kind of like a name that in Latin America, well, I suppose also in Spain, but is used a lot to define a medicine woman. I mean, that was a little bit the purpose, to create a place of tranquility where you could still, in the midst of all the noise and action that there is in Ibiza, especially during the season, that you could come here in the south, where is most of the noise and action, but find a little oasis of peace and a reconnection. I mean, of course, we're also in the Salinas Natural Park, which helps. And that's what it is now. We're just, I mean, I'm really proud of my team and all the artists and the community that have been contributing to what the Curandera has become in these past 4 years. A lot of people have put a lot of love and a lot of their creativity, because for me, the one thing that I had clear when I took it over was to try to give as little money as possible to the multinational corporations to make this work. So really use it to give more, you know, more business to the island itself and to what the island creates. In general, I'm a pretty big fan of localization.
I think localization is, you know, is a love language, essentially. And yeah. I think, you know, obviously you took this place on with Ray, as you said, after COVID, and that was an act of love in many ways. But I wonder how you met, you know, on the set of Rome more than 20 years ago. If you could tell us the love story, because everyone loves a love story, and maybe you could share that with us.
More goosebumps, okay. So, well, actually, we met in Rome thanks to a girlfriend of mine who was in King Arthur with him. She's an Italian actress, Stefania. And Ray was just moving to Rome. I was living in Rome at the time. I did my university there. And he was moving to Rome, and he knew the HBO series was going to last quite a while. So he was looking for an apartment. So I, you know, she knew that I had a small apartment that I was renting out to foreigners. So she gave him my number. I showed him the apartment. He didn't really like it at first because he actually had a really nice house with a swimming pool, and I could keep the house with a swimming pool. But then eventually he had to give up the house. And I mean, we were friends for a while, and he was like, I'm moving to the apartment. And then we kind of realized that we were a little more than friends. And as he says, and then eventually you just moved in. We never really discussed it because, I mean, I was living with my grandmother. And obviously, after a while that we were together, I'm like, you know, I'm 30 years old. You are 40. Well, yeah, I was 29 at the time. And obviously, I mean, back and forth with grandmother, you're living in my house. I kind of come with the house, whether you like it or not. Yeah, he used to say about this scene in which he saw me on the couch reading my book, and he was like, Amore, are you living here now? Like, we never really, and apparently I just looked up and I was like, yes, Amore, and carried on reading. And he was like, ah, okay, well, I guess we have that settled. So I was his living-in landlady.
The furniture. Yes. Quite literally.
I mean, the truth is that I was traveling so much in those years, and it was really in Rome shooting all the time for 2 years. And of course, when I was going back to Rome, I couldn't wait to stay with him and he couldn't wait to be with me. So I wasn't going to go back to my grandmother's house. I was like, I'm staying with you. I don't know. I don't go through those rational trains of thoughts. I just kind of, obviously, I'm not a rational mind. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here doing what I do.
Quite possibly not.
Yes. I was his landlady. He used to love saying that.
I actually, do you know what? That is not what I expected you to tell me about the story about how that relationship began. So I like it. It's a very unexpected twist in the tale already. And we're only just getting started. I mean, you've always worked on documentary and film-related projects, especially ones that involve research and cultural storytelling. I'm not surprised, obviously, that this idea to create the Ray of Light Awards was born between you. But what, you know, what did you both want to achieve?
We actually have to get the record straight, because this is actually not my idea. It's true that he had this idea he spoke about friends when he was still here with us. He never really got around to do anything practical to make it land. But the idea really came from the industry, in particular, the one that came and sat me down and asked me permission to do this is Simon Mirren, who is a screenwriter and producer. He did Criminal Minds. He's also the nephew of Helen Mirren. Yeah, I remember the day was shortly after his farewell ceremony, which was on the 31st of May on the beach here in Cala Pluma. Yeah, he came and he's like, look, I really had this feeling that we have to do something in Ibiza every year to honor Ray, because you guys do things, you know, the farewell ceremony was incredibly enough quite uplifting. It was actually, there were like more than 300 people on the beach, and when I was walking away from the beach, seeing my 8-year-old son literally jumping, skipping and laughing and singing with his friends on the way back here. And actually the other two sons of ours as well were just hanging out with the friends walking on the beach back. I was looking at that, you know, obviously with a lot of emotions for everything that had happened, but with a nice uplifting feeling in myself and looking at the kids being so serene and so ready to be cheerful right after having sent off the ashes of their father. And like, I think we actually have something beautiful happening here. I mean, I've never seen the sons and daughters of somebody happy during the funeral, honestly, like laughing and skipping and running and singing. And my kids were, actually, you could really see them, the ceremony, the love, the light that was there during that ceremony was so tangible. I really, when I looked around at a certain moment, I was like, wow. I mean, really, all the angels and the archangels of the world that seems to have gathered together here to give honor one of them. He was a very special being, and I think he had gathered around a lot of special beings, and there was so much love and light that we could all feel it, and really just gratitude was the main feeling in that moment, more than sadness. So I suppose Simon lived that same experience, and he was so surprised by it. He was one of Ray's best friends. I mean, he literally was as devastated as me when it happened, obviously, almost. But everyone has a different way to express it. It was really, really, for him, it's still difficult because he had actually just left Los Angeles, convinced by Ray to move in Ibiza. And he literally had just moved out of his home in Los Angeles to come and live near Ray a month before. He was in the process of looking for a house and moved the whole family back to Europe because he's British as well. So, I mean, there was a lot on the table for everyone. Like, and anyway, when he came and he asked me, shall we do, you know, something every year? I want to do something every year to honor Ray on this island. I'm like, okay, Simon, yeah, what? And he's like, shall we do a film festival? And the first... you know, Ray had this habit every time I would throw ideas at him, which was often, he would always be like, does the world need this? You know, Beta, before you go on, just think, does the world need whatever I was proposing? And if the answer was no, it's like, don't bother. Mm-hmm. So my automatic response to Simon's proposal was, does the world really need another film festival? And the answer was no, because we have so many great film festivals around the world that really we didn't need an extra one. But then almost automatically, he opened the possibility of doing something that was a different kind of film festival in a different place, which is Ibiza. So it was like, you know, we don't need another film festival that awards, you know, the best actors and the best directors and the best... short, large, you know, because actually there is already two and they're beautiful and they're working since many years and I like to honor them in this moment. So I was like, we should maybe have a film festival that concentrates on certain messages, on certain topics that are very important in this moment in time, in which I think a lot of us are feeling a shift in, you know, it's almost like the way we've lived doesn't seem to fit so well and it doesn't seem to be able to carry on forever. So there is like this feeling of, you know, imminent change or, you know, that something is happening, that it's beyond us. And being, you know, having graduated in anthropology, I know that the stories we tell ourselves are fundamental in the creation of the reality we live. You know, mythology is what you study in anthropology, and mythology is nothing but the creation of the foundation of a specific society, and this is what happens in every culture. You know, you tell yourself founding stories for you to make sense of reality. And so storytelling is such an important value, and I think it's really an important moment right now to try to put our energies towards a storytelling that will assist humankind to going through this moment of change and transformation. You know, the doom and gloom doesn't really help. You know, it's a moment in which we need to awaken our ability to be open, hopeful, connected, you know, regain our inner strength. And the stories we tell ourselves really matter, don't you think? And I think for the youth especially, who are going to be the ones who properly will create the world of the future. It's, we have three boys. So for me, honestly, that was really the moment I'm like, okay, yes, Ray, let's do it. Simon, let's do it. I'm sure there is really great creators out there, content creators who have amazing stories to tell. They can really feed our boys, with them, the whole youth, in a way that can empower them and be ready to create the best possible existence on this fantastic planet that we're on. And somehow, I don't feel like in the mainstream there is enough of that. I know that there are a lot of creators out there doing this kind of work, but it's not so easy that... they, I don't know, I mean, I see the stuff that my kids get bombarded with, and frankly, it's not always so comforting for a mother. So I'm like, okay, you know, keeping in mind the youth, keeping in mind the fact that the stories, I believe, are out there. let's just create a platform where we can speak about certain topics in a way that will uplift the human spirit.
You know, when I walked through the door of La Curandera and I saw on the wall it said, death doesn't have to be tragic, maybe it's actually magic or something along those lines, which is obviously, you can correct me. Yeah. And I think, maybe that's a story that we all tell ourselves and that we're conditioned to believe that this is exactly how it is. But obviously you've changed that narrative completely.
That was actually my quote. And it came really shortly after what happened to Ray. And the quote is, what if death is more magic than tragic? I mean, I had not gone through grieving before this. I didn't know. I didn't think about death. And I actually have never thought in a way that I had to face it so close to me and with three young boys. Honestly, for me, Ray was invincible. He was the invincible Viking that doesn't matter if he has, a bit of arrhythmia in his heart, and he's going to make it through always and forever, as he was saying, I'm going to be walking around with a long rope and a big beard when we're 90 here in Salinas. We're still going to do our winter swims. I'm like, of course, amor. And then this happened. So I had to face something that was really bigger than anything I had ever conceived and thought about before. Nevertheless, thank to this community, I think a lot, and thank to everything that I've experienced on this island in the 15 years prior to his departure, I had an openness to take this immense as something different from what I was used to be told, because I come from Italian Catholic, very Catholic background, and we don't speak a lot about these things. And for sure, it's only a tragedy. If something like this happens, it's just a tragedy. There isn't a silver lining in the way we approach death. It's either we don't talk about it, or if we talk about it because it's happened, it's a disaster. And that doesn't put you in the best possible posture, to be honest, because already when you have children, you don't want them to. I mean, this is first of all something that we all have to be prepared to face sooner or later. And it's okay. It's really actually what makes this existence so incredible, right? And I must admit that I was very helped by the feeling that he was good, first of all, I could feel him expanding and kind of rejoicing. I think it was such a huge energy that for him to be contained, this, even if he was a big man, still to be contained in a body, it was a bit of a struggle. So in a way, it was like, yeah, look at that. And I have a couple of very good friends that are also mediums and readers. And I kind of check with them right away how he was, and they kind of guided me as well, everyone in their own way, but they were all saying the same thing. So it was really good confirmation every time that he was indeed very well, and I was indeed actually quite happy to be able to be close to us, because we suffered being apart a lot. Before I used to travel with him a lot, but when you have three children and a hotel, and the school and this and that, I realized that sadly, if I was to go back, those are one of the few things I would change. Sadly, in the last couple of years, and then COVID and all of this, I hadn't been able to travel and go on set with him as much as I used to before. Yes.
I'm so sorry.
Oh dear. Is this the first time? Is it me making you cry? Or the... Oh, you're so beautiful. And I love that. I want to be uplifted. No, are you sad? Don't be sad. You're good. We're good. We're good. We're good. We're still in contact. He's good. I'm good. The kids are good. And we're doing something crazy. Beautiful, as you used to always say, you're crazy beautiful, and that's what we are, and we're still are. We're a crazy beautiful. Oh,
is not cheap enough for you. I wanna spend my life with you.
Interstellar couple. So it's okay.
No, yes. Just think it's the idea of the fact all that time wasted when you couldn't be together. Sorry, just that's life.
Amore. That is life. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you think all these things that they seem to be such huge priorities. The school, the this, the hotel. Then the priority is really one another.
Become clear. Yes, very, very crystal
very
clear.
Very clear, very fast. In a beautiful way. What I always say about, you know, this, because I think really Ray, in a way, gave us a gift with this journey. He made us go through mandatory expansion. Like literally within days, our reality became immense, you know? Until you have everyone you love the most in this 3D reality, in this earthly realm, as much as you can be believing in the eternity of the spirit, etc., your focus, your all of your energy, everything is here. So basically your reality is small, is this planet. The moment somebody you love so much is beyond your reality. So it's actually quite beautiful as well. That's when I thought, what if death is more magic than tragic? What if we give ourselves that option? Because nobody really knows. Then why do we choose the tragic reading? Because of course we miss the physical present, but what if that non-physical presence is able to give you even more? That's what I told the kids from right away. It's like, you know, he's now, you know, he's got superpowers that he didn't have. He wasn't able, you know, now you can really access to something that you would have never been able to access before until he was in his body. And, you know, everything that you could feel about him, his love, his protection, his care, when he was in Los Angeles, you can still feel. He's still loving you the same way. He's still protecting you much more. So it's like he's not gone, and my kids really know it. They really have this super clear, and I mean everyone in their own way, but they are we're integrating him in our everyday life, and he's giving us from right away some really clear directions of how we were supposed to live through this. Seriously, it was just like, if you don't believe in magic, try to open yourself up to see something of this sort once one of your loved ones is gone. And if you're not digging yourself into the sadness and the tragedy and keep yourself open to receive something unexpected, then you would really possibly be extraordinarily surprised by the possibilities. I remember when he used to say about his career, you know, because he was always casted as the bad guy, mostly. And, you know, he did some big lead roles, but he was often the supporting bad guy. You know, when people were like, you know, you're so good, because he really was an extraordinarily talented actor. He could be able to do all the accents, he was a character actor, so. And they're like, you should be doing much more, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. And I mean, and it's also true that he said no to a lot of projects just because they would have maybe long TV series or things that would have kept him away or have the family move away for years, and he didn't want them. So anyways, and he was like, you know what? By constantly thinking about the career I should have, I might miss the opportunity to really rejoice of the career that I am having, and I am actually really proud and enjoying it. So don't worry about that. And after this happened, I right away realized that I had to cut that timeline that obviously we all had in our mind, me and the kids, you know, decades together to come. You just, you know, that never existed. Whatever you were building in your, it never existed. It was just a projection of your mind, basically. So you have to cut that, because that, in that direction only lies sadness and torture and disappointment. And I was like, you know, let's just really focus on this new timeline and enjoy this new crazy adventure that Papa is making us do. And, you know, God knows what's going to happen from it, but maybe things that are even better than what we thought we were going to have, because you never know. You thought this is going to be, you know, 60 years with him on this beach, but maybe he was gonna, I don't know, have a motorbike accident and be on a wheelchair. We don't know. I'm like, you always build all these images that there are, nobody tells you, you know, that that's the way it's really gonna be. So this is what we have right now, and let's just get the best out of it, because there is still a lot of wonderful possibility and a lot of wonderful things happening.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think one of the first things you're going to do is the Day of Fatherhood and the celebration of that whole idea.
That was another thing that really came from him, because the film festival, you know, is divided in different categories that are, that are linked to special themes and messages that we would like to see well spread into the world and just investigated in our own ways here in Ibiza. So there was the Gaia Award from the beginning. Ray was a big fan of women and powerful women, and this island, it's such a feminine island, and it just makes women flourish. And men, only the men who honor women flourish. The others are kind of like spit out of the island or destroyed along the way. So now we had the Gaia Award, which was all about that. And I know I had this blessing, you know, it's sustainability, Mother Earth, living in harmony, the creative feminine energy, good. We were focused on that. And then last year in the submissions of of the festival, one after the other, I was seeing this content that was about the relationship, father and son or father and daughter. And I'm like, we never asked for this, and yet 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm like, okay, Ray, I realize that it's not just about the women. It was literally like him telling us, look, there is also us fathers, and until you don't look into this relationship, father and kids, and really heal this. You cannot heal society. You cannot jump into a more harmonious living until masculinity and the relationship, literally the trauma that we carry, ancestral traumas that we carry for our, especially in our society. But this is what we're going to investigate on the Fatherhood Day. So this year we've opened the category Fatherhood Award, and we have a whole day dedicated to fatherhood with incredible panels, with psychologists, experts in this relationship, people that were raised with no father, fathers from same-sex marriage, you know, different kind of, let's explore this subject. Mm-hmm. And the good thing about this festival is that it's going to happen every year. So every year we can go a little deeper. So we're just speaking about death. We have one category, which is the Ray of Light Award, which is directly inspired by Ray. And is this year is literally the main topic is death and the beyond, and how we can put part of life into our storytelling, so that it can become more magic than tragic in our imagination, in our, in the way we approach it. And then we have fatherhood, and we have Gaia, and then we have a day dedicated to the youth and new generation. So content that is produced by the under 25, and content that is produced for children and adolescents, which I think is very important to take a close look at that content and honor the voices of the new generation.
For sure. I think I really like the fact that Sierra Campbell is moderating the death panel. And I had her on the podcast, onto the Reset Rebel, before, because I think that also, as you're saying about the, you know, the voices of the future and the talent that's up and coming. I think sometimes the elder generation become ignored, you know, older people. And I think that's something that she does so gracefully and so beautifully, that she actually looks at, you know, how do we age with care and surrounded by community and have a good end of life. And obviously Ray, you know, very unexpectedly departed, but I know, you know, from what I can see already, that his life obviously was very full and very appreciated.
Yes, you know, honestly, well, I'm super happy and grateful to Sierra, first of all, to be part of this panel. She's going to be amazing because she's an amazing being and she really brings a lot of light on this subject, finally. And about, yes, the third age that you're just speaking about, the elderly, we are a dysfunctional society because we're really kind of not taking proper advantage of what our elders are, you know, from indigenous people, original people have a completely different approach. And it's quite painful, actually, to see, you know, to imagine growing old in this kind of society. We are actually often put on the side of society when we're old, right? In our approach, while in other approaches, in other cultures, you're put at the center because you are the ones who remember and who can share and then you can guide. In our society, it's not like that. If you're not productive, as we know, kids and elders, let's park them somewhere. While I'm from my approach is that we have to stay constantly intergenerational in everything we do. This is why in this place I have toys for the children and, you know, rocking chairs for the elders. That's what I like to think about all of us all together. Anyways, in the festival, that's why we have a legacy award, which is not directly connected to content, video content, but we put it in it because, yeah, of course, directly again inspired by Ray, because we are still walking his legacy, and also because we really want to inspire all of the adults to leave a good legacy, you know, by awarding some elder that is leaving a wonderful legacy for the new generation. So we kind of want to remind each one of us how important it is to leave a proper wake behind us, because that's really what you know, what is going to determine the kind of world that the new generations are going to be walking. The original people say that before, like especially in Native Americans, some Native Americans, before they take a decision, they consider the impact of this decision in the 7 generations to come.
That's how it should be.
That's how it should be.
Try telling Mr. Trump that.
Yeah, or Mr. any multinational corporation board, you know, like anything, or governments. I mean, yes. Hopefully, this is gonna change. We're here. We are brewing a new reality altogether. In Ibiza, you feel it so strong, and so it's good to be aware that something is changing, because this is our time to brew something that we will like and that our kids will like and that will make all of us. I believe it's more than possible to live in a thriving world. I believe we can all thrive. This planet can provide for all of us. And I believe it's possible. You have to at least believe the possibility is there. Otherwise, you're never going to get to it. And therefore, I'm very optimistic. So I think we have to tell stories that help us visualize in that kind of thriving world. Because if we keep on telling ourselves stories of a dying, sick world in which us humans are a pest, unfortunately, that's a lot. Like, then it gets into your system, into your cells, and then you really start feeling about yourself like you are a virus or something, and that's not going to give birth to us, you know, happy reality for our children.
Obviously, the end of the festival, you're teaming up with Fantasia, you've got Alex Serra performing.
Yes. And music, of course, is important, and that's why, actually, the day we presented the festival in 2024, in the first anniversary, and Alex was playing to close that event. We were like, with the other judges, etc., like, we need a music award as well. And we're like, let's medicine music award, like music that really uplifts. And, you know, we're really focused on frequencies. So what is the frequency that we want in the world? You can either, you know, like exactly with sadness and grief, you can either feed a lower frequency or you can move it around and feed a higher frequency. So we inserted medicine music into the awards. And when we found out that Lucia Barbiero, who has been incredibly producing, I mean, wonderfully producing the Fantasia Ibiza Festival for now, this is going to be the fourth edition, had the same dates. I mean, I cannot change the dates because we're doing it every anniversary of Ray's farewell ceremony. So when she told me, the, you know, the government to give me the same dates, I was like, oh, actually, on the contrary, I wasn't. I could have gone, what are we going to do now? I do one thing, you do the other. And we were like, so let's just do it together. We're not going to compete on audience. We're doing the same thing. Fantasia is bringing incredibly talented local artists together and allowing the Ibiza population to enjoy it for free in the squares. I mean, it's a fantastic vision. And I am so happy that I can, for those that come from abroad, for Ray and the Ray of Light, to be able to show them, thank you to the Fantasia Ibiza Festival, all of that richness of our island. So that really localization and global audience can come together and each one can bring more magic to this island.
Sure. I mean, I like the rootsy angle, the fact that you've got, you know, that sort of event at Hunter's Farm and people are really going to connect to the earth. You've got Helena Norberg Hodge, who is the queen of localization. Yes. She's absolutely incredible. And Satish Kumar, and the fact that, you know, there's the kind of elder,
yes,
you know, community there who've actually really seen all of this. I mean, we can all talk about it, but they've actually like seen these changes actually happen. I think that's going to be really, really special. And I think
look at Satish, how still happy and positive he is, because you really said it. It's like they have seen it. I mean, it's hard for us to see in a way, because I suppose maybe you're much younger than me, but I suppose you also grew up with less telephones and less things. So, I mean, it's already difficult for us. Imagine for them. But they found a way. They found the key to stay positive and proactive to create the best possible world. So, yeah, we have Juntos Farm with them. Then we have Fatherhood here in La Curandera. And then we have the Ray of Light,
magic.
The magic journey, the beyond, the opening to the beyond, where we're also going to have Martina Novatsky, that his pre-death experience survival. Actually, she wouldn't agree. She would say that she actually did die and come back. So it's very interesting. And then the youth and the music. We close the week in the Ibiza squares with the youth and the music, which actually, I mean, it wasn't even planned, but it's almost like everything fell into place.
Very much looking forward to moderating the music panel as well, which is to be part of it in some small way is it's very exciting. I'm really looking forward to it, and congratulations. I mean, the amount of content and speakers and lineup and awards and curation and work that's gone into this is well done.
It's ridiculous.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you to Open Lab for having us here on the Ray of Light Radio Show. And thank you to you for being my guest here on the Reset Rebel podcast. It's been such a pleasure to meet you, and roll on 1 month from now when the event actually begins right here at La Curandera. Thank you so much for having me.
We can't wait for that moment.
I can't wait for that moment. Still going to make it the full distance over those.
For sure, yeah. I can say that all this is really very much helping me and the kids going through these crazy dates in the calendar in the most you know, action, full of, creative and full of people that we love that are all coming. So thank you, Ray. Thank you, Ray's friends. And thank you, Ibiza community and everyone that has volunteered through the years and helped and supported. Thank you for being here. My heart is exploding with gratitude. That is the one thing that I can guarantee. It's incredible how much this community gives.
Reset Rebel. It's the Reset Rebel. It's the Reset Rebel. It's the Reset Rebel. Coming to you every day.
Welcome back.